Η Ελένη στη χώρα των θαυμάτων. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first program of Hellenic Broadcasting Corporation. I'm Eleni Karali and this is another episode of podcasts dedicated to the European elections. I'm very happy because I couldn't imagine a better guest to speak us today about the European Union, the benefits of being a member of the European Union, the priorities of the European Union, the European Parliament, the urgent to vote. Because he works for the European Parliament approximately for 40 years, he is a media and communication expert, and also as a former university professor, I'm sure that his speech has influence, immediacy, and will convince our audience. So, Mr. Jaume Duc Guillot, welcome to the first program of Hellenic Broadcasting Corporation, and thank you for accepting the invitation.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me. It's a very nice opportunity.
Well, as I said before, you are a Director General for Communication of the European Parliament since 2017, approximately 7 years, and also you are a European Parliament spokesperson for about 16 years.
Yes, it's true. It's quite a long period, but, yes. Working for the European Parliament, it's always a privilege.
So, can you please tell us what your job entails? Because there are two separate roles, if I understand correctly.
Yes, it's true. I'm the Director General for Communication. This means that I'm the head of the communication services of the European Parliament. This is quite a lot of work because it's these communication services are very wide. We are in charge not only of our relationship with media, radio, television, etc. It's also about internet, it's also about social media, about our visitors programs in Brussels and in Strasbourg, our offices in the member states, for example, our office in Athens. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's coordinating all these teams takes quite a lot of time. But it's true, as you say, there is also this second responsibility, the spokesperson of the institution, and it's about speaking to the media, to the public, to help them understand what happens in the European Parliament, what's important, why the decisions are being taken, how these decisions are taken, and then also, yeah, to support the president of the Parliament and the members of the institution also in their own communication work.
Mm-hmm. I think that the role of communication is unique because even if someone does the best job without communicating to the public, it's nothing.
And this is sure. And by the way, it's even more important when it's about politics because if there is no communication, then there is no control, there is no accountability. And if there is no accountability in some way, there is no legitimacy. It's true that the members of the parliament, as the members of the Greek national parliament, they are elected by the citizens, but then you also have to offer to the citizens the possibility to control the work of these parliamentarians and to know what they are doing or what they are not doing. And for that, the media, the role of you, media, is very important, and the communication services of the European Parliament are there to create create in some way the link between the media, members and the public.
Mm-hmm. The European Parliament is one of the legislative bodies of the European Union and one of its 7 institutions. It's the only institution of the European Union that is elected from the citizens. So, what is the role of the European Parliament in the European Union?
Well, first of all, as you say, the European Parliament is the institution which represents the citizens. Mm-hmm. And this is why the members of the parliament are elected by the citizens in the same way that you elect the members of the Greek parliament or any other parliament. What are the functions of this parliament? A little bit the same as for other parliaments. It's about adopting legislation. In this case, as you said, in coordination in some way with the Council of the European Union. The Council is representing the states, the governments. The Parliament is representing the citizens, and the European laws have to be adopted by both legitimacies, the one coming from the citizens and the one coming from the member states, from the government. But then, yes, the Parliament also plays quite an important role in adopting the budget of the European Union. And European Union, this is something which is very typical for parliaments, to be also the budgetary authority. And then the third main task of the European Parliament is to control the European Commission, which in some way it's, let's say, the government of the European Union.
The European Union is one of the largest economic and political polities in the world, with more than 440 million inhabitants, almost 6% of the world's population. Do you think that European citizens are aware of the role that the European Union play in defending their freedoms and their constant progress?
I think that they know this now better than 5 or 10 years ago, mm-hmm. because during these last years, the European Union was very visible mm-hmm. in helping the citizens and in helping the governments to cope with the consequences of COVID mm-hmm. from different point of view, also the economic and the social consequences of COVID. The vaccines scheme in some way was coordinated by the European Union mm-hmm. to allow 440 million Europeans to be vaccinated more or less at the same time. And now in these last 2 years, we also have seen the role that the European Union is playing in providing support to Ukraine mm-hmm. And to the people of Ukraine, to the more of 5 million refugees who came to the European Union in a short period of time. So this, in my opinion, has opened the eyes of many, many citizens in many countries. Maybe in Greece, as for example in my country, in Spain, we knew about the European Union for many years because mm-hmm. of other reasons, or because of the economic policies, or because of the regional funds, agriculture, etc. But now you can see how these last years, this recognition of the role that the European Union is playing, it's much broader and it's bigger in all the member states of the Union.
Mm-hmm. Can you please tell us in a few words, if it's possible, how the European Parliament works? For example, what is the role of political groups and European political parties in the European Parliament?
The European Parliament works in a very similar way as the national parliament. So mm-hmm. when the members are elected, they go to the parliament, but they are not there to represent a country. They represent all the citizens of the Union. And this is why when you look to the hemicycle, they are not sitting there by nationalities. They are sitting by political groups, by political families. Depending, obviously, on the national party, they will belong then to one of these mm-hmm. 7, 8, depending, political groups in the European Parliament. And then the work of these members will be done as for the national parliament, sometimes in committees, sometimes in plenary, in committees to prepare the laws, the pieces of law, and in plenary to debate these laws and to vote and to adopt or not these proposals.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Duke, in a few days, the European elections will take place. What are the challenges of these elections, and also what the importance of the European elections in general?
The challenges are enormous. The European elections are always been important, mm-hmm. but it's true that this time they are probably even more important than ever, than 5 or than 10 years ago. Why? Because the situation in Europe and in the world is more complicated than it was some years ago. I already told you that these last years we were, I would say, quite constructive, quite good in coping with a big crisis, mm-hmm. For example, COVID or Ukraine. But we don't know what will happen in the next years. What we see is that Russia is becoming more and more a danger. We hope that the war in Ukraine will end, but we don't know when. We see also what's happening in Middle East. We know that there will be elections in the United States, and depending on the result, maybe this also will have consequences of the European Union, for example, for its defense, its security. Of course, there's still a huge problem with climate change. There are many, many, many topics where we have to be very good in finding the right solutions in the next years. And this is going also to depend on the result of the European elections and on the possible majorities in the European Parliament. Mm-hmm. So I would say that in reality, all the reasons for voting in a national election are also useful or applied to the European elections. And maybe this time the European elections are even more important than many other elections.
also elections establish democracy. Vote is the best way to establish democracy. So as the motto of the European Union says, use your vote or others will decide for you.
Yes, exactly. The elections are also the best possible moment to defend democracy, to protect democracy. And this is important now when we see that the democracy is fragile. In many countries outside the European Union, the quality of democracy these last years has been shrinking, reducing. Sometimes even within the European Union, we can see elements or even ideologies or political choices that represent an attack to democracy and to a civil system based on freedom and on the respect of human values and human rights. So yes, when the elections arrive, this is also the moment where the citizens have the possibility to defend and to protect the democratic system.
The Directorate of Communication is responsible for the campaigns for the elections. In my opinion, the campaigns are very dynamic, active, extrovert. Do you think that many people have been mobilized to use their vote?
This is what I hope. Of course, we are still weeks ahead of the European elections. And during these weeks, we are going to be even more visible with our campaign. And yeah, this is the idea that most of the 375 million citizens who have the right to vote know about the importance of the elections and know about the importance of voting. That's why this campaign is being run. Yes, we try to be also emotional. We try to use a very clear language that all citizens can not only understand, but let's say accept. And by the way, also trying to be in touch with those 25 million of young people who will have the possibility to vote for the first time in their lives.
Some states choose to lower the voting age. Do you think this will have impact on the European Union? And this will have impact to other European member states?
Well, depending on which will be the result. If we see that in the countries where people can vote at 16, or well, in the case of Greece at 17, is a positive move, and that many of the young people who have this possibility go and vote, I am sure that this can be a good example for other countries. The European Parliament is in favor of lowering the age of voting for the European elections to 16 years old in all the European Union. But this is a decision to be taken by the government, not by the parliament. And I'm sure that those governments will look to what will happen in the countries where already these youngest people can vote.
Do you think that an assimilation to the European ideas should begin from schools? There is a program, Euroscola, if I pronounce it good. I think that the European Parliament and the European Union in general wants young people to be informed about the political parties, about the different priorities and ideologies, about how European Parliament works. I think you have understood that they need this information and you try to give it in many ways.
Yes, for us, it is very important to be in contact with young people, and this is why since many years we are running programs, for example this Euroscola, where thousands of people have the possibility to go to Strasbourg and to work for a day as if they would be members of the European Parliament themselves. We are also since a couple of years investing a lot in schools. So there is a program which is called Ambassador European Parliament Ambassador Schools, also in Greece, where both teachers and students, they participate in different activities that help them to familiarize with the European Union, to understand why the European Union is important, to see also how themselves they become also responsible about the future of the European Union. And this is very important. I think that this media literacy or this literacy about what the European Union is must be in some way a part of the knowledge, the lessons in some way, than these young people will receive during the last years at school.
Also some programs, for example, Together EU, also recently you present an application that may increase the intention of young people to vote.
Yes, we try really to explore all kind of possibilities to convince young people and then also all the other citizens about the importance of voting. And right now, this means that we need to be also very active on social media. This is what we do. We even opened our account on TikTok a couple of months ago because there is a lot of people who get information or sometimes disinformation via TikTok, through TikTok, and yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. The parliament shouldn't be there also mm-hmm. to offer factual content about the importance of the European elections. But these techniques, these platforms are evolving almost every day, and we need to adapt to this and also to the world of applications as the one that you just mentioned.
Where can someone find more information? I think you already said, but maybe you want to add something. Where can someone find more information about the European elections?
Yes, it's very easy. Mm. If you go to Google mm-hmm. and you search for European elections, immediately Google is going to send you to the website that we launched a couple of months ago, where you can find all the information about the European elections. How to vote, where to vote, why to vote, all these things are there. Technical information, practical information about the European elections, about the consequences of the European elections, about the work of the European Parliament, everything is there. Then, if you want to contribute in some way to this effort that we are going to do in these last weeks before the European elections, you can also subscribe to getta.eu, mm-hmm. or you can go to the website of the European Parliament and you can activate a feature which is called Remind Me to Vote, and then you will receive couple of days before the elections, and then the day of the elections, you will receive an email from the European Parliament reminding to you that the day of the elections arrives and mm-hmm. why it's so important to vote.
Mm-hmm. So, can you explain the impact that the elections have on the functioning of the European Union?
Well, depending on the result mm-hmm. of the elections, the Parliament will be more active or less active in mm-hmm. pushing the European integration or in finding solutions to the problems, to the concerns of citizens in many topics on environment, on industrial policy, on agriculture, on human rights, mm-hmm. on gender equality, on migration, on youth programs. There are many, many, many things that are already being decided at the European level, not only at the national level, also sometimes even more mm-hmm. at the European level or together. And part of these decisions are taken by the European Parliament. And the European Parliament, as the Greek Parliament, can have different majorities or different positions, different kinds of coalitions also, depending mm-hmm. on votes, depending on those who will vote, of course, not those who will stay at home.
Mm-hmm. So Europe means hope, in a few words.
I think so.
Yes.
I think so. I think that Europe means both hope and future. And if there is no future, there is no hope. That's mm-hmm. why it's so important that we all invest in keeping the European Union not only alive, but efficient and ready to cope with the difficulties of the next years. I'm sure that the European Union can play a very positive role to protect citizens and to offer to the next generations the same advantages and the same peaceful life conditions than the previous generations. But this will also depend on the willingness of the citizens. And mm-hmm. this is, again, why these European elections this time are really very important.
What advice do you give to someone that is not sure if he is going or not to vote in the next elections?
If you vote, then you are entitled to criticize what will be done or not during the next 5 years. And in some way, you will be a part of those who are defending the democratic system and are defending a constructive way of doing things. If you abstain, if you don't pay attention to the European elections, then during the next 5 years, you are going to live in a union which has been decided by the others and not by you.
Mm-hmm. You are responsible for the communication of the European Parliament as Director General and also as a spokesperson. How do you face some of the obstacles of disinformation and foreign interference threats that you face during this time?
In many ways. First of all, to fight against disinformation, the best possible recipe is to increase information, to mm-hmm. increase information of good quality. And this means that we, as the parliament, we have to help media, as for example your television or your radio, to do its work, because this is going to help citizens to get trustful information and not only disinformation. But then there are many other things to be done, and some of them are already done. During this last legislature, the European Parliament has adopted several laws, for example, to oblige the big social media platforms to control the content that they are distributing, that they are circulating, to avoid that they are being used as the main channel for disinforming people, or even for interfering in some way from third countries in the political life of your country or in the political life of the European Union. And then, of course, we need also to protect all these organizations, all those entities that are useful to check facts and to help the citizens to understand what is true and what is not. And then the last element, maybe the most important, but mid long term, is media literacy. Is that we use also again the schools in a way that teachers have the possibility to teach to the youngsters, to make the youngsters pay attention to what does it mean being confronted with disinformation, and how to make the difference between disinformation and real information.
And that's very important, and you are right, we should learn this, we should distinguish this from early age. Mr. Duke, I think we should not take for granted nothing. Our lives would be different if European Union doesn't exist. As I said before, you are a man with almost 40 years of experience in media and communication. In December 2016, you were awarded by Acqui Europa, a Spanish publication specializing in information on the European Union, in the category of Distinguished Spanish Personality in Communication that has promoted the European project. How do you feel after so many years of contribution to the European Parliament in your domain when you are awarded by your country? Is it recognition for all this hard effort of all these years?
Well, obviously, when you receive a prize, you don't know if you merit the prize or not, but you tend to imagine that yes, that if they decided to offer you this prize or to award you this prize, there is some real reason behind. But in some way, I think that I don't need the prizes, because there is no better prize than this privilege of working for many, many years as one of the communicators of the European Parliament. The European Parliament is not only an institution. The European Parliament, in some way, it's also an ideal. It's a mission. The European Union, or the construction of the European unity, is also a mission. And having the possibility of taking part in this mission, of course, it's a privilege. And I'm still very dedicated. I mean, after all these many years, I feel my work, my job, is still very meaningful. Mm-hmm. It's true that sometimes you could desperate a little bit, because you would like to have more, even more visibility for the European Parliament and for the huge, huge work which is done by the members of the Parliament. But I compare with the situation when I started, and I can only be happy. But again, there is still a lot to be done.
You have said in the past that Jacques Delors was clear, sincere, reasonable, emotional, ready to denounce inaction, constructive, pedagogical. During these years, did you have a mentor or someone you admired and was your incentive for doing all this great job?
Well, of course, you mentioned Jacques Delors, and Jacques Delors was the president of the Commission when I started. And yes, he was in some way an example, not just for me, for many people at that time. And still he is. Then I've been working with many politicians and with several presidents of the European Parliament. And in all cases, with all the presidents, there is something that you learn. Sometimes you learn about communication, sometimes you learn about how to do politics, about how to protect the institution, about how to take really in charge the concerns and the problems of the citizens you are representing. There are many things that you can learn if you are in the European Parliament with the eyes wide open.
In conclusion, can you send a message to all the people that listen to us?
Yes, I mean, you Greeks, you know perfectly well what democracy is.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, because you were the first in experience democracy, but also because there were moments in your history was where democracy was not there and you were obliged to fight for getting it back. Now we are living probably in one of the best periods of the history of Europe because of peace and because of democracy. But we need to be very active to avoid that this period becomes to an end in some years simply because we are not good enough in defending this democracy and in defending the European Union. And again, this is why these European elections this time are so important. So I would really ask to the Greek citizens to take some time, the 9th of June, the day of the elections, and to do something that will have a real impact in their lives for at least the next 5 years and even more.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Duke, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much to you. It was a very complete interview, so you can do quite an interesting podcast with this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to thank Mr. Jaume Duke Guillot. The motto of the European Union is use your vote or others will decide for you. So don't forget it, and also don't forget that we are all united in diversity. Thank you for listening to our podcasts. Thank you for your messages. And please do not hesitate to contact with me, Eleni Karali, in Messenger, Instagram and Twitter. We are here to answer to your questions and give you as many information as we can about the oncoming European elections. Stefania Tsakiri did the sound setting. I'm Eleni Karali, and until the next episode of our podcast, take care.
Eh bien, Robin, c'est que je ne devrais pas être ici aujourd'hui. J'aurais dû être morte le 17 juin 1940.
Na 21. jsem měla telefon, že nás obsazuje armáda. Což jsme považovali za něco, že to vůbec není možné. To byl takový šok.
How do you feel about what's happened here in Prague?
We hope that we will have again the freedom and our democracy.
J'avais 11 ans quand la guerre a commencé et 12 quand les soldats sont arrivés. Il y en avait partout. Je descends mes démarches avec mon compotier. J'arrive dans le jardin. Ta 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 ta. Maman était tuée sur moi. Pour me protéger. Vous savez, quand on a 12 ans qu'on se relève avec sa maman morte qui vous protège, on n'oublie pas.
În Timișoara s-a tras în tineret în fața catedralei.
Mijn vader is Auschwitz gestuurd en daar vermoord. En mijn moeder kon mij meegeven in de wetenschap dat ze misschien mij nooit meer terug zou zien. Ik had geen ooms en tantes, dat vond ik wel raar. Ik had ook geen grootouders. Iedereen had grootouders. Ik had niemand.
Non si deve mai dare per scontato la democrazia, ma bisogna sempre sostenerla e proteggerla.
To 17. listopadu, kdy všechno začalo. Byla veliká demonstrace studentů. Policisté napadli demonstranty, zmlátili je. To byl ten moment, kdy začala ta revoluce, takzvaná.
Pēc neatkarības atgūšanas Latvija bija brīva zeme. Cilvēki varēja brīvi izteikt savas domas par demokrātiju.
Ma, col muro di Berlino, secondo me, l'emancipazione di tutta l'Europa.
Lieve Suzanne, lieve Suus.
Jsem ráda, že jsi takový, jaký jsi, a za to tě mám moc ráda.
Je weet, ik ben geboren in een jaar dat de wereld in brand stond. Zoiets bepaalt voor een groot deel je leven. Gelukkig ben jij geboren in een tijd van vrede en welvaart.
Pořád si uvědomovat, že ta svoboda a demokracie tady nebyla vždycky. A že o ní můžeme strašně rychle přijít.
Bisogna lottarla per ottenerla. Bisogna sempre stare vigili e lottare.
Si je peux laisser un message avant de partir, vivez la démocratie. Entendez-vous les uns les autres.
Passt gut auf die Demokratie auf, wenn ich nicht mehr bin.
Je to na mě a je to na nás, na naší generaci. V Evropě.